Green Scene on the Pat Kenny Show with AIB, working alongside Irish communities towards a low carbon future. AIB, for the life you're after.
The Green Scene today, the multifarious insects that help pollinate our food crops. But first, how noise pollution is affecting the breeding of birds. We're joined by Dr. Ruth Freeman, Director of Science for Society at Science Foundation Ireland. Ruth, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Little birds.
I know. And I mean, look, it's not surprising, perhaps, that beside a busy road wouldn't be the most favourable place for birds to build a nest and rear their young. And we've known that it probably has an impact on them for a while. But this study is the first one to really delve in to the role of noise pollution, particularly when it comes to these little birds.
And it's not just the little fledglings being deafened by the noise while they're in the egg.
Yeah, even while they're in the eggs. So this work from Deakin University in Australia exposed little zebra finch eggs and then chicks to different kinds of noise. So some of the eggs got silent, some got nice relaxing zebra finch noises, and some got nasty traffic noises. And they got it for a few hours a night over the course of 13 nights. And the parents weren't exposed, because that was another thing we were trying to unpick. Was it the parents that were distressed by the noise or actually the chicks themselves? But it seems like the little eggs that were exposed to noise were 20% less likely to hatch at all. And then if they did hatch, the little birds that came out were smaller and lighter, so less, probably less healthy than their counterparts. And actually, when they looked at the physiology of these birds, what they were able to look at the ends of their chromosomes. So at the end of our chromosomes, we have something called telomeres. And these telomeres get shorter as we age. It's part of the reason why our DNA gets less resilient as we get older. But these little birds had shorter telomeres than their healthy counterparts. And actually, when they followed them, they were less likely to go on and successfully have chicks themselves. They had only about half as many chicks as the birds that got a nice peaceful
noise
incubation.
So definitely has an impact on this species in that country. But there are other studies that might disagree.
Yeah, I mean, we know now, so there has been other studies exposing the parents and the chicks to traffic noise. But what we really need to do now, exactly that, is understand the different impact it has on different species and whether it's the parents or the chicks alone. But in reality, we know that a lot of noise and a lot of light coming from our cities, particularly at night, it's probably not giving us the most peaceful sleep either, but it's not doing, you know, the other animals and birds that live around
You'd
us any
wonder,
favours.
They have to obviously discount light pollution and so on, because light, you know, birds often wake up in the night when there are bright city lights.
Absolutely.
And they're confused. They think it's dawn.
Yeah, and I think, look, urban planning, we know it's been poor at taking into account other species apart from ourselves. So we need to see what we need, but we also need to see how we make it safe for nature
now,
as well.
Now, your second topic this morning is about pollination and most unlikely creatures involved in this whole process.
I know. Well, I mean, as we all know, the bees are kind of the superstars of the pollination world. And we've talked before about even a few mammals are involved in pollination. But this is a new study that's looking at flies. And actually, flies after bees are our second most important insect pollinators.
Are we talking about the little housefly wandering around?
All different kinds of flies. So, I mean, one thing people may not call a fly, a little hoverfly, they actually almost look like a small bee. They are yellow and black striped, but they are a little fly. So hoverflies are a big pollinator. But when researchers looked at about 100 different food crops, not things like oats and wheat, they pollinate themselves, but a lot of our fruit and vegetable crops need insects to pollinate them. So about 70% of the 100 crops are also pollinated by flies. But this new research is particularly looking at those flies bringing pollen on long journeys. And some of this research started when a researcher was working in Cyprus, and he was looking at flies, and he found that these huge waves of flies were coming from the Middle East towards Cyprus. And researchers started to track how far those flies are coming. And what we're finding is some of them are travelling massive distances. So maybe as far as from Scandinavia to North Africa.
And why don't we see these swarms?
We possibly don't see them because they're carried on the wind mostly.
And so they're way up there.
They may be up quite high. Yeah, so we aren't seeing them. But the other thing is we've seen flies that have travelled hundreds of kilometres, and they may be carrying pollen from 10 different plant species. And this is kind of intriguing because they may be bringing genetic diversity from different parts of the globe. And this could be really important as our plants are challenged with climate change, because it's a way of mixing genetic variants from all over the globe.
So they may be bringing pollen from plants that maybe are coping with warmer climes, and then this genetic information is passed on, and maybe some of the plants will get a resilience.
Well, exactly. But if the environment changes and those are the plants that are now resilient, we may see new variants coming through. So while we are only just learning to understand this, it might be a really important thing to keep our fruit and veg resilient.
You make the point, though, that whereas bees are deliberate pollinators, I mean, they're going from flower to flower, the flies are just...
they're just stopping for a rest.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah, they're just stopping for... So that's great. But actually, they have a lot of advantages in some ways over bees. You know, they're out earlier in the day, late at night. They actually don't mind a lot of temperatures. They don't mind wind. I mean, some fruit and vegetable growers bring bees into their glasshouses and they often get stung. Of course, a fly won't sting you. But I mean, interestingly, as farmers, and farmers are often ahead of the curve with these things, they already realise they're happening. Some mango farmers in Australia are actually bringing decaying roadkill onto their farms.
To get the flies to come
get
in.
Blue bottles, these, you know, blue drone flies onto their land, because more flies, they've realised, is more mangoes. So they're now bringing sort of roadkill
now
into the farms.
Now, looking at the distances travelled, in 2022, there was a study of American hoverflies.
So these little flies, these were going over 3,000 kilometres. So they were going all the way up from Canada to the very bottom of the US. And we know these hoverflies are a really big pollinator. So I think, you know, this is about us kind of rethinking that it's not just about the bees, that in fact the insects are playing a huge role. And they do other things as well, of course. They're part of the nutrient cycle, because we know they eat decaying matter, and then they eat it, and then they move somewhere else. They might die. So they're part of this whole nutrient cycle that's much more part of our farming system than we knew.
A question coming in, Ruth. Did Ruth say they separated baby birds from their parents? Surely this had a negative effect.
Well, the research that was done on the zebra finch were in a lab, but of course they were all treated the same. So those that got noise, those that got silence, all the other conditions were the same.
So in other words, they separated them all from their parents.
Exactly, the conditions were the same in all cases. And of course the parents do leave the babies, so this isn't cruel. They would leave them anyway to go out and look for food.
Well, it's fascinating stuff. But the next time we go swatting that fly, just think, he's a pollinator,
you might
maybe.
Get your mango ready, yeah.
All right. Ruth, thank you very much for joining us. Dr. Ruth Freeman, Director of Science for Society at Science Foundation Ireland. Now, don't forget, our items are uploaded as podcasts, which you can listen to in the Newstalk app, powered by GoLoud.